Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all this morning. For those of you who may, there's a couple of familiar faces. Oh, thanks. For a couple of familiar faces, for those of you who don't know me, my name's Jen. I've been here for a long time, and I am one of the pastors here. Been here for a long time, so it's lovely that you are with us today. And I pray that God really blesses you and you feel a sense of feeling at home. Just before I start, you know, these last kind of sort of couple of years, Brett and I are the senior pastors of Kingsway Churches, and you may see me kind of floating in and floating out. These last couple of years for me particularly have been pretty full on. I not only pastor Kingsway, or oversee kind of the three churches, I have another role, which is a role that I have in overseeing learning and development for an organization called Care for You, which cares for persecuted Christians. So I have been traveling a lot more than usual. So if you don't see me, I promise you I still love Jesus and I still love you. I'm just kind of in and out, and I just want to take a moment to just, these last couple of years, there's been lots of shifts and changes and, you know, things kind of happening. You'll see, you know, lots of changes that are happening in the building. And I just wanted to take a moment just to honour Dave and Elise in the midst of all that. It has been a lot. Moving us from upstairs into this kind of relocating logistically is a lot, and by the grace of God we have been able to find some partners within this building that really continue to keep us focused on the heartbeat of why we're here and what we do as a church, which is to facilitate ministry. And out of all the years we've been leading Kingsway, I've just been so grateful for the team that we have. Not one complaint. You know, it's not every church where you kind of glorified sitting out the front of, you know, toilets. But I've never heard him complain. Well, maybe, apart from the earphones and a couple of jokes around. And the rest of the team, Greg. I know it's not an easy thing, and I wanted to acknowledge them today because I really do appreciate, in these moments of transition, which I'm talking about today, it's not easy. It's not easy to lead. It's not easy to transition. It's not easy in a culture where we are continually trying to juggle how we facilitate and use this building. And so I also want to honour our elders, our business teams, and the many different people. I know that there are all of us together are an essential part of the body of Christ working together to see God move. And our heartbeat is really to continue to work together and to learn together and to minister together, that we would see our community touched by the love of Christ. And that's really the heartbeat of Brett and I. Mind you, he's jigging today. He's got an old man's gala that he's part of down at Bonnet Bay, which he's super excited about. So he sends his love from the soccer field. But to be honest with you, I also see that that is not disconnected from the ministry at Caringbah. He's the chaplain down there. The incredible opportunities God opens up in that context is all part of what we're doing. So we don't really disconnect the activity of what we do through our week, whether it's at school or in businesses or Christian surfers, or it's not disconnected for us. It's all the church. It's all God moving. This is just one expression on a Sunday morning around what God is doing in our midst. And, you know, even having conversations with so many, you know, different people, you hear these moments, these touch moments of what God is doing through all of us in our everyday lives. And I think that's the body of Christ working together, and that's the church, right? I'm excited about what's ahead. Kind of always that tension of feeling nervous, but also excited about what's ahead. Went with the team a couple of weeks ago to Baptist Care. Did I get the name right? Baptist Care? Pabst Sobo, similar. Not great with details. But Pabst care, which is an outreach to their community. And I just continue to see, you know, how God is at work outside these four walls. And so I'm excited about that. I think it's amazing. So, yeah. So this morning, Dave has given me a great passage to preach on called Sent with Healing Hands from the passage of Acts 3. I really love this passage of scripture. It's kind of nice for me to be preaching on something outside of suffering and some of those more joyous topics that I tend to get because of my role. But I didn't grow up in a Christian family. I became Christian when I was 17 through Teen Ranch and a number of different kind of things. But I remember as a small child, you know that song, Silver and Gold Have I None, but such a happy one. Do you all know it? Those who have been Christians for a long time might know it. For those of you who are not, don't worry, just stay with me. Because it was always one of those more joyous kind of Bible stories, you know, that you read around the miracle of God and, you know, this blind beggar that was walking and leaping and praising God. And we were like, you know, I remember as kids kind of doing the dance, you know, jumping up and down and walking and leaping and praising God. And, you know, I think it's a joyous passage of scripture. So today I just want to kind of relook at that. It's a familiar passage for those who have been in the faith for a long time. It's a familiar passage that a lot of us have probably learned through either Sunday school or our own experience of growing up. And I want to take a little bit of a different touch to it today. And I do have a couple of object lessons, but it's for all the teachers to try and help them to kind of nurture into school this week. So bear with me. Oh, Avzi. It was Avzi's birthday today. For those of you who know Avzi, she was one of the pastors here for 10, 15 years, our children's pastor. And we had a bit of a celebration for her yesterday. And this is, come and bring it up here. We went out. Chrissy brought this with her everywhere we went yesterday for lunch. It's a beautiful picture of Avril when she was a child, and it went everywhere with us. So every photo we have is of Av. So if you know Av, send her a happy birthday. We love you. Av, Alista's got it. I'll put her there. Is that going to freak you out? Okay. All right, let's start with reading the passage. So I think it's going to be up on the screen for those of you who don't have your Bible. I need to put a timer on so I don't keep you here till lunchtime, like Dave does, but he said it first. I do love him. Okay, are we good? Got it? Okay. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," this is the song, "rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and leaping and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So let's just pray, just commit this to the Lord. Maybe Dave Lovell, would you mind just praying for us this morning and just committing this time of word to God?
Amen.
Amen. So I just have a few thoughts I want to share with you this morning about the idea of healing and this particular ministry, a miracle ministry, miracle. And while this moment is an incredible miracle that happened for the blind beggar, what amazes me about this scripture is actually it's one of many miracles. It's easy to read this story and focus on this moment, on this incident, on the fact that this was just straight after Pentecost. But I wonder if the real miracle was in the constant unfolding of healing in Peter's life to bring him to this place where he was actually humble enough and wise enough to draw on his experience of God's faithfulness to offer in a miracle for someone else. You see, Peter and John, the statement, silver and gold have I none, in this context was pretty significant. The temple doors, the beautiful gates, from what I read and understand, were made out of gold. And in a sense, I think it's not just the reality of what this physical surroundings, this environment they were in. I also believe that it was a testimony of Peter's experience to get him to where he was. So I just want to kind of you to call out a little bit, because I want to try and map it, because I think it's really important to get to this moment, this silver and gold moment, this moment where Peter is experienced the power of the Holy Spirit after Pentecost, being obedient in this moment, to be open enough to usher in healing for the blind beggar. So what are some of the significant moments that you can think of in Peter's life if we read the scriptures? The calling? Yeah, I think that's... Yep, the call. What else? The confession, yeah. Yeah, the denial. The walking on water. Excuse my fingers, my writing. Where did he do that? Okay, I'll put healing mother-in-law. Yeah, the resurrection, what would you call that? The restoration, maybe? Yeah, the breakfast. Yeah. Is that the confession? Anything else? Yeah, his love for Jesus. I think that was an ongoing thing. We'll put this here. What else was there? Yeah, they cut the soldier's ear off. That one brings me encouragement as a disciple. Yeah, the transfiguration. Fishing miracle, what else do we have? The denial, maybe? Oh, do we? Oh, yeah, denial. The denial. cutting off the guard's ear. Okay, I think that's, we're getting the gist of it. All right, now I want you to think about, from your perspective in this, and of course we'll never know because we're not here with him. I want you to think about, let's put some emotion behind this. Just quickly call it out so we can be fast. What do you think maybe he may have been experiencing in the call? An emotion. Or, yeah? Yeah, confusion. Shame, maybe. Nervous. Unqualified. What about the healing of the mother-in-law? Really? What else? Confidence? Walking on water? Trust? Fear? Shock? Wet, maybe? Confession? Confident? Nice word. What was that one? Identity? Qualify? Love for Jesus? Love? Transfiguration? Terror, maybe, yeah. Bewildered? B-E-W-I-L, Andrew? Denial. Denial? Shame? Fear? Guilt? Restoration? Oh, cutting off the soldier's ear? Anger? I would say amazement, because I don't know, every day you see the Messiah putting someone's ear back on, but only in Avengers or something like that. Yeah, brave, maybe. Yeah, I think he would have been confused, do you think? Is that? And the restoration. Humility, yeah. Yeah. Excuse my writing, it's pretty bad. Thank you. So the thoughts I want to share with you this morning, when you look at this and you look at actually the journey of Peter's life and the myriad of not just experiences but moments that actually shape significant change. And I'm not talking about just knowledge kind of change. I'm talking about significant moments within his life that were full of highs and lows and everything in between. These significant moments within Peter's life, I believe, were significant to get him to the place in Acts 3 where he was able to say with confidence, silver and gold do I have, I have none. But what I do have, I will give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. These experiences within his life helped shape, helped build confidence, helped build understanding, helped challenge perspectives. And I want to share just a really quickly moment, a real quick moment in my own life. And some of you may have heard this before. It's a story from when I first started working with the persecuted church. And this was a significant moment in my life that the Lord used to reflip my thinking, reflip my ability to usher in healing in a way that was aligned to the kingdom of God in my learning, so that I could facilitate through my experience, my revelation, my processing, so that I could continue to be the arms and feet and the vessel that God was going to use to be able to shape some change within the plans that God uniquely had for me. So there's a picture, I think, Rocky, of me in... Dave, would you mind just getting my drink? I'm super thirsty. Do you have it? Okay, this is a picture. It's a fairly old picture. Thank you. It's about 25 years ago. It was one of my first experiences of working with the persecuted church. I think I was like, I don't know, 25 or 20. No, must have been 30. Yeah, probably 30, I think. Around that age anyway. So I'm 56 now. It must have been about 30. So this particular picture is a picture of when the first time I went to camp, went to Vietnam. It was quite, communism was still very much at work. Christians were at risk. And I was given the instruction before I left that I was going to share a message to youth, to young people. And so I got the instruction that someone was going to pick me up from my hotel. I hopped on the back of a motorbike. I had no idea where I was going. Just hopped back on the back of a motorbike. And I ended up, I don't know if any of you have been to Asia, but generally they have the shop at the front. And we shop at the front, and then they have like another building often on the top of this shop front. But what I was really surprised when I walked into this is actually within this community that I was being driven into, it was really poor. And so I didn't really see anything because they kind of covered me completely in the motorbike. You know, the rain jackets in Cambodia, in Vietnam, they have kind of the rain jackets, and I was kind of covered. They drove right into the shop, and there was these stairs at the back of the shop. And this was actually the roof. So we were sitting in the roof, and all these people had come to hear me share something. And my first instance was, what have I got to share? I was only newly to this particular role. Anyway, so I ended up being in this situation. I shared what I could, and at the end of this service, they took up an offering. And on my way out, I was in a bit of a rush, so I just chucked kind of 20 American dollars in my pocket, as I do, being so organized, chucked it in my pocket and ran out. I ran out, and then they were taking up the offering. And all these people were putting like one or two or five Vietnam, I think it's dong, into the offering. And I felt in that moment so privileged. So embarrassed, so shameful, so overwhelmed. I didn't know what to do with my money, so I screwed it up in the smallest bowl that I possibly could, and I chucked it in the offering. And afterwards, in my limited at that stage understanding of God's kingdom and how it worked, and my willingness just to be there and to be present and to be available, and all the best motivation that I think I had in that moment to love these people well. I went up to the pastor and I said to him, why are you making all these people give? They've got nothing to give. They got a cent. Like, don't take any more from them, surely. You know, that kind of, I didn't say that, but I'm like, why, just can you help me explain why do you take them an offering? I mean, these people are so poor, they don't have anything. And he said, and rightly so, with some frustration in his voice, who am I to rob these people of the dignity to contributing to the kingdom of God? I'm like, okay. That moment for me was a transitional moment of understanding and trying to understand. And in this moment of time, while I was trying to understand my own good emotions, my own motives, my desire to serve, which were all good things, right? God had to deconstruct my way of thinking in order to better serve him. So I started doing further research and further understanding. I started reading When Helping Hurts and books like that that are really lovely reading. Not. They're confronting and they're difficult. And to sit with this while I continue to pastor in the context of the Sutherland Shire hasn't always been good and easy, I have to admit. It's complicated. It's complex. It's trying to learn how we don't do for others what they can't do for themselves in all contexts. And hopefully within what we do within Kingsway across our churches, you'll see a hint of that. That lesson that I learned 25 years ago, and I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I still have my perspective constantly changed. I could give you a number of different stories where the Lord has literally humbled me. Not in a way where I come away and just feel incredible shame and I'm stuck in this moment, but in a way that brings a sense of revelation and understanding of the fact that God is at work. And I could ask all of you, what are the miracles that God is doing in your life in order that you would continue to be transformed by his love, to be that vessel, to be that, to be sent with healing in our hands? We have to walk through our own healing journey to be effective healers for others. Peter's inward journey, marked by failures, the denial, the cutting off of the soldier's ear. Again, a motivation. He wanted to defend Jesus. He wanted to protect Jesus. But as my wise spiritual director once said to me, misplaced passion, Jen, is just anger. It's not what God needs. Grow up. One of the hardest. If you want a great spiritual director, I can give you her number. She's nearly killed me along the journey. Peter's inward journey, marked by failures, forgiveness, forgiveness for others, forgiveness for himself, the denial of the cross, illustrates how personal transformation through Jesus' presence is foundational to us being vessels to bring healing. So spiritual transformation enables us to mediate the presence of Christ in our world. We become partakers of his divine nature of love so that Christ is actually present in the world through us. But what's interesting about this story is Peter had a choice. In Matthew 28:7, at the moment of his absolute heartbreak, he had lost his Savior. He had denied Christ three times. He had chopped off the ear of the soldier. It wasn't a great time for him, I'm guessing. I haven't spoken to him personally, but guessing this was not his best moment. But the scriptures of how God continued to call him forward for transformation, for healing, is such an amazing gift that God not only gave Peter, he gives to us. It's called grace. He's given it to me my whole life. But for Peter, in Matthew 28:7, he says, "Then quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." Matthew 28:10, then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Mark 16:7, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's ahead of you. Go into Galilee. You will see him, just as I told you." Peter had a choice: to stay in that moment or to move to Galilee. That choice that Christ had challenged Peter with was a choice. And I did have my object lesson, my other object lessons. But often what I see in churches, or actually even in our organisation, it's a Christian organisation, it often should make a difference, but sadly it doesn't. We get impacted by these moments, right? And we have a choice. Our response is to allow the Holy Spirit to bring transformation in and through moments of pain, moments of joy, all of our moments, or they will drive us. And I'm a real believer, if you look at the Gospels, that God gave us emotions for a reason. Anger is not wrong. Disappointment is not wrong. And all the other emotions that are with that. But we put them in the driver's seat. Jody would be better at this as a psychologist. We need to put them... If this is our car, they're still here. But we need to know where to put our emotions in order that we allow the power of the Holy Spirit to name, to transform, to listen to those signposts in our lives when we're angry or we're frustrated or we're annoyed or we deny things or we cut off someone's ear or we do things that we're not particularly proud of, that we forgive ourselves, that we allow the Holy Spirit to take the lead and enable us to do the hard transformational work in order that our lives would be transformed. And I think it was Richard Rohr that if we don't allow the Lord to transform our lives, transform our pain, we will transfer it. If we don't allow the hard work, and I'm not talking about just a word like overnight. I'm talking some of this is years and years of allowing the Holy Spirit to come into those moments of pain or things in our lives to shape the change that we need in order that our pain is transferred, that we can continue to be agents of healing within the Christian church and within the church community. And part of my other role in Care for You is that I am a learning and development specialist, and so I kind of look at all the capabilities. I would say in the church we talk a lot about love, but if I was going to look at a competency, I would say one of the greatest things that we need to learn as a church is how to have conversations that are very difficult and how to manage our emotions in the midst of that. Because if we don't, then the emotions not only get in our way, they end up like, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to continue to be at work within our moments, our transformation, the good, the bad, the challenging. And I'm not kind of rating myself or Brett after kind of 25 years of leading the church, but I tell you, if I had not made a decision to allow the Holy Spirit to transform the parts in my life where I could have been bitter and offended and angry and at this and that, I wouldn't be standing here today. And I can honestly say, I wouldn't be standing here today saying, I still love you. I still love the church. I still love this community. I still love what God's doing. I still love the wider church. Is it broken? Yes. Is it messed up? Yes, but it's also beautiful. And I hear of people, you know, making meals and supporting one another and the joyful moments. And all of those moments are all part of what God is doing in the wider picture in order that we would be equipped and fulfilled with what we need to see God continue to do miracles in and through Kingsway. So our faith is a journey of constructing and deconstructing and reconstructing. Our faith is a journey of allowing the Holy Spirit. And Walter Brueggemann puts it beautifully in one of his books in the Psalms, where he talks about the deconstruction, help me, Jess. To disoriented, reoriented. What's the first one? No, orientation where everything's good, disorientation when things go bad, and then reorientation where you have a completely different perspective. We're all part of that constant journey of where we're at in the middle of all of this. Where are we at in those moments? And everyone's on a journey, and we have to learn to give one another grace. So if you are not open to ongoing transformation in your own faith journey, you can also be a block to the transformation of others. Peter's story of transformation allowed him to discern how God wanted to send him out into the world. And spiritual formation results in our ability to be able to discern how God is sending us into the world uniquely to do His will. So I want to just spend some time. There was a lot that I kind of unpacked in that moment, because there's a lot around the church that talks about healing. And I think for many of us, we've probably experienced different moments of healing. And I'm thankful in my story that I have heard and witnessed many miraculous moments where God has healed people physically. But I think we need to, as we continue to be obedient to what God wants us to do, we need to be sent with healing in our hands, and it starts with us. If we're going to be sent with healing in our hands, it starts with us. So let's just spend, I'm just going to pray, and then I just want to just take 5-10 minutes for you to debrief that, if that's okay, together in small groups, and share a little bit about your experience, your challenge, and where you're at in the midst of this story. So let me pray. God, I just thank you for your grace and your love, and Lord, I thank you, Father, for all that you are doing across your church, across the world. But particularly today, I just want to pray for this community. I want to pray that you would forgive us, Lord, that you would forgive me in those moments where, where maybe I'm not managing my own emotions in a way that brings transformation and healing. So I just pray, God, for a greater awareness, not just for me, but for us together, that you'd give us the tools, that you'd give us the insight, that you'd give us the courage, Lord God, to be able to continue to press into those moments that are not just joyful, but uncomfortable too. That you would shape our thinking, that we would have the mind of Christ, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That you would continue to enable us, Lord God, to be shaped and changed by the power of your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I just pray for your protection over these conversations. And I'm aware, Lord God, both in my own life and maybe the lives of people that are in this congregation, that there's maybe confusion or questions about unanswered healing that we're still praying for. So, Lord, I just pray that you would give us grace as we enter this conversation. I pray, Lord God, for your peace that transcends all understanding. And above all, Lord, open the eyes of our heart that we would also know the hope to which we've been called. We would know your immeasurable greatness of your love towards us. And Lord, that you would teach us together to how to shape this beautiful challenge that I think Dave's given in this message, that we would be sent with healing in our hands, and that you would help us to notice when we're doing that. And Lord God, when we need to change. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.